Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
That'll be a true test for us. I mean, you saw what they did last year when we faced them. They're a stout run defense. They got a lot of great players on that front line, the second level with their linebackers. And I think, you know, the amount of respect that I have for Todd Bowles as a defensive coordinator and what he does is real. So that combination of how he schemes and then the players they have, I think there's a reason why they are that good.
Oh, boy, there you go. It's Mully and Haw on The Score. That's Matt Nagy. He's the head coach of the Bears, firing up the troops, getting them ready for a great defensive effort. So that'll really get everyone fired up. Why don't you find some more people? Maybe they'll get angry. I don't know.
He divvied out the respect quite a bit this week between the Bucs defense and Tom Brady and, boy, the Super Bowl champions, and it's great. It's great. So the Bears are down to Tampa, and so we talked about the only pathway to victory. That's the way we have to look at it, right? I mean, it's the NFL, and as hard to imagine as it is conceivable. I mentioned in jest the Titans losing to the Jets, the same team that beat the Bills. Anything can happen on any given Sunday, sure, as the movie says.
Yes, yes.
So if we're going to go down that route, that road, let's look at the Bears, and they have to run the football, as we've been saying. They have to try to run the football. Here's my biggest fear. Not that we're going to hear more from Matt Nagy and his praise of Bruce Arians next, but here's my biggest fear, is that the Bears are going to look at what's happened with the Buccaneers this season, and they're going to see teams that they maybe compare themselves with. They're not the Rams. They're not going to beat them, right? They're not that explosive. But they're going to look at the Patriots game. And the Patriots did what? The Patriots were really close. And I know it was a home game for New England. There was a lot of emotion involved. But the Patriots gave the Buccaneers all they could handle. And they did it by running the ball four times. They threw 42 passes with a rookie quarterback. Mac Jones was terrific. But I don't think that is a game plan you want to mimic or try to copy or repeat. I think that was a rare case, kind of the exception to the rule. And I hope the Bears don't look at that and say, okay, we can do that because that worked.
I think, David, when we were discussing what our biggest fears are, I think we have the same biggest fear. I think if they're going to pass the ball 42 times and run the ball a couple of times, that means that the play caller has changed, in my opinion. So that's my fear. My biggest fear is we're going to see Justin Fields in the pocket like it's the Cleveland game. You're going to go on the road and you're going to decide that he's ready now to kind of unleash, and you're going to uncork all the deep throws, and you're going to go empty backfield and expect him to get rid of the ball in a hurry and do all the things that we haven't seen him do yet. That's my biggest fear, is that the play caller will change and you'll get away from your identity, which is as a run-heavy team. And I get it. You know, they got a couple of guys in the middle of that defense that make it virtually impossible to run. And they're mean and they're tough and they're strong. And you're going to run into problems doing it. But I think if you stay with who you are and stay ahead of the chains, you got a much better chance of making some third downs, of moving the ball. You know, they made more third downs than the Packers did. They just didn't make more plays down the field consistently, and they certainly didn't get themselves more than two scoring drives. And that was the real frustration of that game.
And I think that you get a sense of real frustration when you watch the Bears execute their game plan, and you pointed out the lack of of a marriage between the running plays and then passing plays that are set up by those runs and the play action passing game. And then I think we all have sort of had a laugh about the idea the Bears move the ball down the field, they get in the red zone, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere you see this very strange diamond formation. You flip the ball to a tight end, and oh, isn't that funny? I wonder what they call that play. Here's why that's interesting and why those two things are aligned. Matt Nagy may not be calling the plays directly on a play-to-play basis, drive-to-drive basis, but his influence is still there. And his influence is still there. You want to get to the why we know that? What I just said. They can't stay consistently on a path to use a running play, use a naked bootleg to the tight end and come back to that play because it worked and take the gimme and then use a successful running play to set up a passing play. They can't stay out of their own way enough to avoid the diamond formation and a wasted snap. They cannot help themselves from trying to get too cute. And whenever I see the Bears, and it may not be fair, but I think it is earned. Whenever I see the Bears become too cute, I think to myself, okay, that's the head coach calling plays again or making sure everybody knows that he is the guru. And I think that is why I am skeptical about the Bears' ability to go into Tampa and to have an intelligent game plan that might even give them a chance.
Yeah, I it's well said. I don't know if I can add anything to that, David. I think that there are a lot of areas on this football team that don't make sense to me. They've got a fully loaded tight end position with tons of guys all over the place, and we just saw last year's second-round pick get a career high with 49 yards, not even 50 yards, but 49 yards. And we all were like, oh, that's great. Look at that. I mean, that's fantastic.
Like the coach.
I mean, really. But, yeah, like the coach. But it's not. It's got to be better than that. You've got to have – you've got to use the weapons you have, and you've got to deploy them in the correct way. And you can't load up on a position – because theoretically it would work in the offense, when in reality, you know, you're probably two tight ends too many, to be brutally honest with you. You could get rid of a couple of those guys and start loading up on some other positions if you wanted to. Might be a wiser way to go.
Yeah, absolutely, because this was the guy who, you know, let's go back. This is year four, and we're talking about back in year one when everything seemed to work in 2018. This was the offense revolving around the tight end. Trey Burton was here and overpaid for that specific reason. You know, 49 yards to Trey Burton in this offense was supposed to be, you know, a good half, right? This would be a good half for Kelsey. This would be a good half for Waller. The great ones catch 49 yards maybe on a series. So I think everything is relative, and this is how far – this offense has fallen to where we're celebrating a 49-yard effort by a tight end who was drafted highly to change the position and to be that guy. This isn't working. The offense doesn't seem to know what it wants to do and who it wants to utilize. So, therefore, there are all these reasons that we doubt their ability to score points, and that's what it's all about.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Rich is in Old Town and has waited patiently. Good morning, Rich.
Morning, boys. I think you guys are on to something. And what I did was, I want to make a comment and turn it over to you, but I did a little homework because I'm really irritated with this whole tight end debacle. And, you know, Graham is on track to catch $1 million a ball for the season. So that's pretty good salary. For $1 million catch, that's a complete waste. And here's the problem, I think, in part. It's screwing up the salary cap, and it's also introducing the Hayward syndrome. And let me explain what that is. You got the same problem for him with the Cubs. He's overpaid, overpriced, and the fans get on him. Well, that's exactly why. If Graham was making the league minimum, no one would probably say anything, but he's not. And you got a bunch of money tied up. But here's what I did. I went back the last 12 years. The Bears are in love with tight ends. This is really remarkable. It even surprised me, and I looked it up. This goes back to 07 with Greg Olsen being drafted in the first round, running him off. The next year they drafted Kellen Davis, good old Kellen. He didn't last very long. 2012, the infamous Ivan Rodriguez, who I have no idea who he is. Then Adam Shaheen from good old powerhouse Ashland College. And now they've got Burton as a free agent, Graham as a free agent, and Jesse James. Well, guess what? That's the reason you lost the best corner they had, because of salary cap. So you're screwing up the salary cap, which really falls on pace. And you've got all these tight ends and no strategy or game plan to utilize them. So my question is, you guys follow the Bears for years. What's with the tight ends?
Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, it's a boogeyman position, I would say, right? Because every time you go to fill it, you overpay for a guy that can't fill it.
And they did fill it pretty well with Greg Olsen. It's just what happened in that context going way back was they turned the franchise over to Mike Martz, who didn't have a use for Greg Olsen, who wasn't a blocker, wasn't a guy that wasn't his strength. He was a pass catcher, considered himself a wide receiver. They traded him, and they never really adequately replaced him, and they have had a variety of offensive approaches, and they've never been able to find the tight end. Trey Burton, good. Until he wasn't, because he was injured, and then when you needed him most, he didn't show up. So I think that was the big problem with him. But yeah, it has been a boogeyman position.
Yeah, I really want Cole Kmet to have a good career and do well for himself. And again, you know, maybe that will happen. You don't know, as the quarterback becomes more familiar with what they're trying to get done offensively, with what open is in the NFL. I think that there's going to be more opportunity to kind of to use that. But we have to have patience, and we're watching something develop. The whole Jimmy Graham thing, that's the problem. You just said it. If Jimmy Graham wasn't paid the kind of money he's making, and if you didn't feel like they made a decision to keep the tight end over a left tackle, over a cornerback, over, you know, frankly – higher value positions, which you need help at, then maybe you wouldn't be upset about it. But the fact of the matter is that they did do that. And, you know, guess what? Every time you turn around, they're tapping into all these contracts in order to change their salary cap. They're pushing out spending because they don't even have operational money.
Either tackle you could have justified keeping – if you didn't pay Jimmy Graham. And look, I understand people push back a little bit. I've gotten some of this week about when I talked about Kyle Fuller and why you let him go and Jimmy Graham stayed, and that people pointing out Kyle Fuller's on the trade block in Denver and he hasn't had a great year. Okay, that's fine. But what you did was you forced him to adapt to a new team and a new system, even though he knows the coach. If you left him to play cornerback for this Chicago Bear defense with this mix of people in a situation where he was very comfortable and thriving, by the way,
yes,
I think that he would have continued to thrive. And you took him out of that by cutting him because you allocated the resources elsewhere. So I think you created a problem you didn't need to create by valuing and overpaying a tight end.
I don't think you cut him because of allocation of resources elsewhere. I think what you did is you took his contract and you kept borrowing money to pay Paul, and it got to a point where he was owed $20 million.
Okay.
And you couldn't afford that contract. But, David, you're spot on. How much better would the Bears be if they had two good corners and two guys that you trusted and you felt like not only is Jalen Johnson getting better, but Fuller is still in his prime. I mean, I think it's crazy to look at it any other way.
A team with two shutdown corners and two elite pass rushers with Roquan Smith in the middle gives you a chance against the elite offenses like they're going to face on Sunday, gives you a chance against a guy like Aaron Rodgers who owns you, yes, and it would have given you a chance to feel like you could be that kind of football team right now. As good as the Bears defense has played it on occasion, they still lack depth in the secondary, and you still don't trust that secondary because, you know what, Kyle Fuller isn't here, and he's not here because you mismanaged the salary cap.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. We're going to answer all your calls. We're going to discuss it next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Hey, Matt, Jalen Johnson posted a picture of the fine you gave him. Is this not like a bigger issue than the fine itself?
That's news to me, but at the same point in time, I'll be able to talk to him and see, what that's all about. But Jalen's been he's been doing great. And again, for what it is and where we're at, I'll be able to discuss it with him.
That's Matt Nagy yesterday. I guess he had to find the young corner who was a minute late to the facility. And the old adage has always been, Tom Coughlin time has always been, if you're earlier on time, if you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, don't even bother showing up.
You are forgotten.
That's right. There you go. I like it. But 8:16, 8:15. Well, I had a friend years ago, David, and he was being moved from one shift to another, and they were going to fire him. I think everybody knew they were going to fire him. I think he knew they were going to fire him. And he said something along the lines, I'm going to show them. I'm going to show it. They want me there by 9 o'clock. I'm going to walk in at 8:59 every morning. I'm going to be early. And my old roommate looked at him and said, that's not early. That's on time.
It's just how you are raised, how you handle, promptness, punctuality, these kinds of things that define professionalism in a lot of ways. I have two thoughts on that, Molly. Number one, I do wonder if he's getting fined for being 1 minute late, if this implies, it certainly does to me, it suggests that this has happened before. Rarely in any walk of life, whether it's an NFL locker room or an office or wherever, are you going, or maybe it's your kid's curfew, are you going to come down like drop the hammer after the first offense that is one minute and it kind of, it's not egregious offense. But I wonder if this implies that Jalen Johnson has a punctuality problem.
Oh, I don't know how it couldn't. I mean, you don't nail a guy for 1 minute late unless he's consistently pushing that envelope on you, right? And
so,
then you finally say, hey, that's not good enough.
It makes you wonder. The other thing is that, and again, this is maybe an unfair assumption or conclusion to draw a reach. Matt Nagy is the last guy to be preaching punctuality, a guy that makes the Bears media corps routinely wait for his press conference to begin. And if 10 o'clock means 10 o'clock, it doesn't mean 10:40, coach. And I know it's your time and we're privileged to be hearing what you have to say, but Matt Nagy, a guy who is habitually late for his own press conferences, has, some nerve finding a guy for being 60 seconds late for practice.
Well, I have always been a big proponent of media fines, of getting together as a media and fining various people for making us wait.
So you want to fine Matt Nagy?
I want to fine people that don't give me a good story if I'm a beat writer.
Boy, you
that
would be
was
rich.
Boring. Yeah,
we would both be rich.
You'd be retired. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's funny. All right, 312-644-6767. Does it imply to you at all that Matt Nagy isn't carrying the kind of gravitas that he may think he is, or that a head coach has to? Does it even his answer there, his idea of like, well, I'm going to have a talk with him. But, you know, he's playing great. It's just, it's almost like a, you know, you're doing a little hugging instead of slapping.
Well, again, going back to big picture, let's take a big picture look at this. They talk about the culture. And last year, they bragged about how that culture helped them endure this six-game losing streak that they pointed to as a as evidence of their resilience, as the strength of their character, right? They handle losing well. Well, you know what? This year, not so well. This year, it's different. And that culture that you leaned on as a crutch last year and you helped get you through the tough times, this year, when the going gets tough, you start whining. And I think whether it's Eddie Jackson or Jalen Johnson or Jimmy Graham, the social media coordinator needs to be fired because they're not managing the players' social media accounts as well as they should be, and it doesn't speak to this culture that everybody wanted to brag about a year ago.
It's interesting that you put it that way. I mean, maybe the social media correspondent needs to be hired rather than fired. But one way or another, I think
right.
It's fascinating. 312-644-6767. Chris is on the road. Hi, Chris.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good.
I got a couple things that I'm going to hang up and listen and see what you guys think. I just wish you can tell that Maggie has – He is in Lazor's ear, and you can tell when it happens because the tape never lies. It really doesn't. And that first series against Green Bay, you could tell that was Lazor all the way. He had tight ends out there. We were running the ball. Everything was good. And then all of a sudden it went, and I just wish Nagy would go, you know what, I'm going to let Lazor do this. I'm gonna put my ego down because his ego is huge. And I'm going to let him do it because I think if he would have done that and then bench Eddie Jackson, oh, my God. He's playing Pop Warner football right now, and I hate that. You got your money, and now you're not gonna do anything? It's like he's not even trying out there. And we got rid of Fuller, who would have been, I mean, putting the slam on people. Eddie Jackson's, like, shoulder hitting them. And, I mean, I don't even see his alarms really go up sometimes. It's just – and getting ran over, Kyle Fuller wouldn't have got ran over. Come on. So I'm going to hang up and see what you guys think. I would bench him and put somebody else in for a while and quit not showing accountability. I hate when Nagy goes on there and his press got, you know, we don't point fingers. Start pointing fingers. Start pointing fingers and people might start doing more. But if you don't call them out, they're not going to change. They're not going to change. And if you expect them to do it and not call them out or show accountability, you're insane because that's the definition of insanity.
Okay.
Doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
Thanks very much. Appreciate the call. And, you know, David, you want to take that? You want to –
Well, I'll say this.
Defender attack, yeah.
Well, no, I think we pointed out when we have sort of kidded that we know when Matt Nagy kind of interjected into the play calling and we saw examples and that we don't have to revisit that. But I do think the point about Fuller's an interesting one, Mully. And I think it goes beyond, okay, he's having a bad year in Denver. And I said he wouldn't have done that here because of his comfort level. Here's the other thing. And it's a little bit more subtle, but it is significant. A year ago before when they played the Bucks, right? You remember that at Soldier Field. That was a big victory for the Bears. And why was it? It was because Kyle Fuller made the big play, the big hit that defined that Bears secondary as physical, no nonsense. We are going to hit you and it's going to hurt. You know what? That was a mentality they embraced. That secondary was kind of they thrived off that. And Kyle Fuller took that with him when he went to Denver. This isn't a physical secondary. This is a secondary that's known most for missing tackles. Jalen Johnson has done a nice job, but you don't get that sense that they ever replaced that toughness that Kyle Fuller exuded.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, things change, teams change. I get all that. I mean, you know, Kyle Fuller didn't give Kyle Fuller the contract, and he didn't change all the numbers in it because he was moving money around because he had given away some other bad contracts. But they got to a point where they deemed he wasn't worthy of the money that he was going to make, and so they let him go. He wasn't interested in giving them a cut in his pay because he didn't feel like he'd done anything wrong, and I don't honestly think he did. But, you know, the idea that you had to get rid of him is a bad look for a guy that was as productive and as good, and a draft pick, by the way, even if not from your administration. That's bad management. Ditto some of the decisions they were forced into with the offensive line. Again, you're paying these people and then you're deeming them overpaid. That's on you. When we have an argument now about what Eddie Jackson's doing, guess what? He's overpaid because he's not producing for the money he's making. Well, who paid him? He didn't pay himself. So the problem you have with all these cases is when it's your own player, you should have all the information you need. You should know how competitive the guy is and whether he's going to – money's going to ruin him or whatever people accuse you of. Eddie Jackson, what made him a good player was his ability to take the ball away, and we haven't seen it. You know, I just think – maybe they felt that Jalen Johnson was getting to a point where he was going to overtake Kyle Fuller. Maybe they thought they could save some money. Maybe they thought that that Kendall was going to be a better player than he's been thus far. I don't know what the reasoning was. But I do know that they believed that they don't score enough touchdowns, and they had a tight end that scores 9 touchdowns. I don't know if he's going to have 9 catches this year. But they paid him, and they kept him, because they thought he would score touchdowns.
And before we get to Perry on the phones, the last thing about Eddie Jackson, I do agree and said earlier in the week, I would consider benching him, but now you really can't. Deion Bush surprisingly went on the injured reserve list, so he's out for 3 games. That gives you a lack of depth that you once had at the position, so I don't think that's a smart move to bench Eddie Jackson just to make a point now.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, you're down players. I mean, you just can't afford to, unfortunately. If you wanted to make a point, you missed that window. 312-644-6767. Let's get to Perry. He's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Perry.
Good morning, guys. Hey, so 3 quick things. Until the Bears decide to change the management regime, this is what we're going to have for the foreseeable future. First thing with Ted Phillips, not a football guy. He's resided over 2 bad GMs, picked 2 bad GMs. And you need a guy that knows football, period. Now let's go to Nagy. He's been here, what, 4 years? 1 half a season with decent offensive numbers. Otherwise, toward the bottom of the league every year. No identity. And what's scary is the quarterbacks are not improving based on the coaching. So I'm concerned for Fields with this guy. And there's no really identity with this offensive team. Now you got Pace. We're in salary cap hell with mediocre players. You got 1 stud in Roquan that's going to be due for a contract that you want to have problems like that, to pay guys like that. But you're paying guys that are no good or average at best, high dollars, and you can't go sign anybody, and you're losing draft picks every year for guys that you shouldn't have moved up to get. So when you look at that combination, and I don't mean to be Debbie Downer, I'm just a realist. There's just no direction with this organization. That's all I got.
Thanks, Perry.
Yeah.
Realistically, what he's saying, Mully, is what we have been talking about. You have the reality of your defense ready to win now, your offense in a state of, you know, development in that stage and growth phase, and it's not really compatible to have both sides together at the same time, but that is what they're faced with each and every Sunday.
Let's get Brian in, and we'll squeeze him in. He's in Jefferson Park. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Hey.
Hey, man.
What's up?
Oh, am I on now? Hey, yeah, I just wanted to talk about Nagy and his just lack of awareness at the end of the first half. You know, 2 games ago, we had 50 seconds left. We're running a trips formation, and Fields takes a bad sack. We were in field goal range. You know, we lose points on that. And then the last game against the Packers, we had an opportunity to score points as well at the end of the first half, and we just didn't capitalize on it. And then that compiled with Nagy taking that stupid timeout before he challenged that play. I mean, we won the challenge, so we didn't lose the extra timeout. But why did we take a timeout there? It just seems like he's mismanaging a lot of things. And I'm glad that he gave up play calling, but he's still mismanaging the team and our time and, you know, things of that nature, I think.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah,
thanks, Brian.
I mean, listen, they're 3-3, and they've been a 500 team forever, right? That's what they apparently aspire to.
Since the end of the 2018 season, they are a 500 football team. But to his point, and it's a good one, last drive at the end of the first half against the Packers, Mully, I think we both felt like that was disjointed and it was mismanaged because they had a chance to go in 10-10. They go in 10-7, and with the feeling of deflation instead of momentum.
All right, we're going to get to Nick Kostos next.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I want winners.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Yes, indeed, we want winners, and that is why we talked to our guy, Nick Kostos. Nick, of course, is joining the show, the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Nick Kostos, Insider Calls brought to you by Bet River Sportsbook. Check out the daily specials. See what unique bets are waiting for you at BetRivers.com. Also, be sure to listen to You Better You Bet podcast. For more of Nick's analysis, just search You Bet wherever your podcasts are available. And Nick is kind enough to join us now on the guest hotline that, of course, is brought to you by the fine folks at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Mully and Haw, what's going on, guys? What a great day today is. You guys realize today is the sports equinox. We got NFL, we got playoff baseball, NBA, National Hockey League, college football, all sports converging. God, I love the month of October. Great to be on with you guys today.
That's a great point, Nick. Hadn't thought about it that way. Everything is converging. What a plethora of choices that we have tonight. So tell me this, in that context, how in the heck are the Browns still favored with Case Keenum at quarterback?
Well, I mean, I would ask you guys this question, and like you guys can think about it, and like all the listeners out there can think about it as well. This is my opinion, right? And I just want to offer some context here. I bet Denver on Monday. I have Denver +4. I felt like this number was going to close at 3. I also thought Baker was going to play and Beckham was going to play and the tackles were going to play for the Cleveland Browns. Now, I mean, Beckham is questionable but hasn't practiced this week. Baker's obviously out and Keenum's in. We'll see about the offensive tackles tonight for Cleveland. I watched the game on Sunday. I've seen a lot of Baker Mayfield over the last couple weeks. He was good against the Chargers, but brutal against the Vikings before that, brutal this past Sunday against Arizona. I don't know that Case Keenum is much of a downgrade at all over, like, injured Baker Mayfield, like torn labrum Baker Mayfield. Baker's certainly better when healthy, but Baker's not healthy right now. And something to keep in mind with Case Keenum, who's going to start tonight in place of Baker Mayfield, he's got a lot of history with Kevin Stefanski, the Browns head coach. Stefanski was in Minnesota when they went on that magical ride to the NFC Championship game when they lost to Nick Foles and the Philadelphia Eagles. So, I mean, he knows this offense, obviously, inside and out. Broncos, both inside linebackers are done for the season, so some matchup advantages for Cleveland here, offensively versus defense. So we kind of have to see how all the injury information is going to shake out here pregame. But what I can tell you is this. If you out there listening, if you're like, wow, Baker's out, maybe Beckham's out. Jarvis Landry might play tonight, by the way. We still have that to be determined as well. But if people are, oh man, can't wait to bet Denver tonight. Baker's not playing in the game. Like, the number's gone. Like, the value's gone. And I always say this, and I don't mean it as a cheap plug, but you got to check us out during the week because we're talking about this stuff all week. Like, you can't come in and bet Broncos +2 right now when +3.5 was literally available 24 hours ago. You just can't do it here. So for me, the question becomes, do I want to come back and try in middle of this game with Cleveland? Because I actually think the number is, like, in a spot right now almost where it shouldn't be. I kind of think the Browns should be 3-point favorites in this game. So I would never bet Denver now at this current number. The value's been completely stripped away of it. Doesn't mean Denver can't win or cover, just that but like I think it's not a valuable bet to make. So for me, it would be Cleveland or nothing. And if people out there do want to bet Denver tonight, what I would suggest doing is teasing Denver. We've got some good options coming up on Sunday, including the Miami Dolphins. You could tease the Chiefs down basically to just win on the road in Tennessee. I think Kansas City is going to blitz the Titans in that game. So I would tease Denver up to +8. That would be how I would play it tonight. And I know my guy Dustin Rhodes, the American Dream, wants some props for tonight. How about Noah Fant, the Broncos tight end, 42.5 receiving yards. The Browns rookie linebacker from Notre Dame, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who's been defending tight ends this year, is on injured reserve now. Fant has seen double-digit targets in the last couple games here. So Noah Fant over 42.5 receiving yards is where I would look tonight as far as the props are concerned for the Broncos and the Browns.
Nick, we know that the Vegas has taken a beating with some of the favorites the last couple weeks, and the theory would be that maybe some of these lines are a little inflated as a result. We have three double-digit favorites in the NFL this week, including Tampa against the Bears. Are there any of those games where you like the dog?
Yeah, I just want to first say like that – like, you hear a lot of that stuff in, like, the sports betting content space, and it's complete BS. Like, that is not true. Like, it doesn't exist. Like, the idea that books inflate numbers because they lost the week before is, like, complete nonsense. And if you hear anyone out there being like, oh, well, the public won last week, so now the books are going to win this week, like, that's – it's not how it works. Like, it's literally not how anything happens here. So, like, that stuff is incorrect. I appreciate, like, the question and being phrased like that because I think a lot of people think like that. It's just, like, it's inaccurate. And I think that a lot of inaccurate information gets peddled by people that don't know what they're talking about in the sports betting content space. Anyway, to the games this weekend where we've got the Bears and the Buccaneers. Bears are a 12.5-point dog there. I don't think I'm going to end up betting this game. If I did, I think I'd take the over, or I think Tampa's very likely to hit 30 here against Chicago, guys. I hate to say it, but I do think that that's the case here. And on the flip side, maybe we'll see Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor finally take the training wheels off this offense for the Chicago Bears, and they can maybe score on a bad Buccaneer secondary. So over would be where I would look there. Texans-Cardinals, impossible for me to bet unless Tyrod Taylor is going to play. If Tyrod Taylor ends up starting for the Texans, I think this number closes around 14. So it's still kind of nebulous, murky as to whether Taylor or Mills will start. If it's Taylor, I look to bet the Texans like immediately because that number is going to crash down. The one big underdog that I did bet is the Lions. I have Detroit +15 on the road at the Rams. It doesn't mean they're going to win. The Rams could win the game by 30 points, certainly. Just that the Lions have played a bunch of good teams this year, and the spread has never approached anything like this, like +15. So a valuable number play for me at anything above 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, I can't be like it's my favorite bet of all time, but I do have Lions +15. That would be the one double-digit dog at a big number that I would look at would be Detroit.
All right, Nick, I want to sneak in an NBA question here because the Bulls locally were excited after last night's season-opening victory. They are 1-0 for the first time in 5 years. Nationally, they're getting a lot of love. They're written about in Sports Illustrated this week. What is the betting market like for the Bulls if one is developing?
Yeah, I think people I swear to God, I did not mean this like to say it this way, but it's just going to come out. Like, people are bullish on the Bulls, and I really think with good reason. I think Billy Donovan's a really good coach. I feel like Bulls fans agree. I feel like the offense is going to be really good this year, and I know it wasn't last night. I know last night profiled as a big-time under game. They won 94-88 last night, obviously, against the Detroit Pistons. The Bulls are not going to shoot under 50% at the rim all season. Like, Billy Donovan saying post-game last night that they're going to continue to push the tempo on offense. I think this is a team that's going to score a lot of points this year, so I think the Bulls are going to be a playoff team in the Eastern Conference. I think that Bulls fans should be optimistic this season, and I do think that, like, the offense that we saw last night against Detroit is not how they're going to look moving forward this season. So maybe we're going to end up with spots, gentlemen, where we're going to be able to play the Bulls totals here and play overs here, maybe a little depressed after what we saw last night. I do think this is going to be a really entertaining, high-flying offense. I know it didn't look like it last night, just one game of 82. I think Donovan and company, LaVine looked great. DeRozan and company will get going. I think this is going to be a really fun-to-watch offense as the season moves forward.
All right. Thanks, Nick. We appreciate your time.
Appreciate you guys. Love coming on with you. Wishing you guys and all the great listeners minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. And gentlemen, enjoy the sports equinox on this fine Thursday.
That was the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider Calls brought to you by Bet River Sportsbook. Bet River Sportsbook has exclusive bets waiting for you every day. Check them out at BetRivers.com, and also be sure to listen to You Better You Bet, that podcast, for more of Nick Costos' analysis. Just search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts.
A lot of stuff going on. I mean, you got NFL,
we didn't even get into
football.
The baseball. I mean, we got baseball, two teams that are about to be in the World Series.
The Braves have pink champagne on ice in their hotel in California.
Look at that. Huh? Look at that. Do you think there could be a worse matchup for the networks, for the old people at Fox? I mean, Astros, Braves? Unless, as Ray brought up, unless you're hate watching on the Astros, I mean, ooh, that is a rough. They need the Dodgers or the Red Sox to rebound and do it quickly.
Well, you could argue that Dodgers Red Sox is the dream scenario, which is even more reason that this is a nightmare scenario because it won't produce near the television ratings.
Good counterpoint. Good touche.
All right, guys, we're going to get to Dan and Layla next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.